Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Tamam tina matua mai se foile. Te songa la postoria Corey man tina pere ya Simon. Fatalo fatur pa ia mana sua fi Jesu. Shalom. Shalom and greetings, Pneuma. In the wonderful name of Jesus. I'm honored and I'm privileged to be here. My name is Luca. I don't live on the second floor. I live in the top penthouse of my father's mansion in paradise. My wife Jo and I, we lead Hope Global in a place called Ōtara in New Zealand. I'm from Samoan royal descent. Can I have my keyboard player, please? I'm a third-generation minister whose father helped pioneer the Samoan Assemblies of God in New Zealand. Now, over 150 churches in New Zealand and masses around the world. Thank you. I'm a father of three beautiful children, one adorable grandson. I'm here with my elder Kippy from Ōtara and my wife from New Zealand. They call it the spiritual center of New Zealand. Apostles Corey and Simon, King David said in Psalm 8 verse 4, "Who am I that you will be mindful of me?" I'm honored to have met you and been asked to speak here behind your pulpit. No doubt there have been numerous mighty men and women of God declaring his word. I've come to serve you this weekend, your global church family, and I'm grateful. I'm very grateful. And I thank you for the utmost privilege. Prophet Stacy, I'm indebted to you. I'm indebted to you. Your name and the reputation of this church goes before you. You've paved the way for us as a people, a generation, a nation to follow suit. You've made high mountains flat plains with shouts of grace, grace, grace. For who are they before you? Apostolic leaders can take back what the enemy had stolen because you paid a price for the now generation to believe God for everything and anything. You've modeled faith for us to believe all things are possible. You went through the crushing for others to have a calling. And like John the Baptist, you chose to decrease so that the Master may increase. Has the Lord Most High not chosen you for such a time and a time like this? Has he not looked down and around and sought for a man and a woman to stand in the gap between him and the land? Has he not found you? Did the great I Am not say to Satan, "Have you seen my servants Job, Corey, and Simon? There is none like them on earth. A good and upright man who fears God and refuses to do evil." And though Job lost much in the beginning, he gained blessing that multiplied to flow in the latter. Did the Lord not see you, Corey, standing in your office, looking outside your window, wondering, like Joshua, who stood near Jericho, pondering where to, how to, when? And the Lord of hosts appeared to Joshua and said, "I have now come." And like Joshua, God is about to appear shortly in a profound and prolonged way to guide you into all that he's declared. It will surpass you to the following generations. As God had given Joshua the land of Jericho, the gateway to Canaan, the gateway to the promised land, behold, the Master stands before you and he says to you, "I'm about to give you a Jericho, A place that has blocked you in the church moving forward into the prophetic promises the King has declared over you. Where people try to block you politically, try to block you spiritually, try to block you physically, and said, we are too big and we're too strong. But the God of the breakthrough has appeared in this holy ground. This is His holy moment. It's the take your shoes off moment. It's the fall on your knees, oh, hear the angels' voices moment, because the Master has come. And the walls of your Jericho are about to come down. The Egyptians you see today, you will see no longer. For it is not by night, nor by power, but by a spirit. If you can see what I can see right now in the future for you in Simone, you will be flabbergasted by the goodness of God. What looks empty is now filled in the future. What is bare becomes a metropolis city, hosting His glory. What was planned by the enemy is being debunked. You're about to walk in. You're about to walk in. And what they call the ease of heaven is where extraordinary miracles in Acts 10 happen. Not ordinary, but extraordinary things will happen with ease. Where missing limbs grow out. The dead left for days will rise up. Rebel armies drop weapons and surrender. Global political leaders call your name. The capacity to move an entire continent, the entire trajectory through your prayer. Has the Lord not seen? I don't know who you are. I've never met you before, but I'm honored. If I came here to Numa, Melbourne, just to deliver you this message, then I'm happy to go home. My God, the best is about to come. Pastor Simone, when I was in the office, I saw the Lord's hand come into your mother's womb when you were born and held you. And the enemy came to bring implications and situations, but the Master's hand stayed in your mother's womb, brought you out. It's the gift of God to a nation that's about to be turned upside down for His glory. Times and time is coming. Change is coming. Where's the baby? Listening to the sound, sitting down there with your dad, and the Lord said to me, speak to this child. And the word of the Lord is, you will sort the church sound today and sort heaven's sound tomorrow. I see the word Esther, you're about to come into the playground of heaven, and the Master awaits you in your room. And when you come into your room, the Master sits with you. I see a temple of worship where you will worship the Lord in such a powerful way. I see the word leader, 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 leader. I see you speaking in front of kings and queens, and the Lord has approved of your life. The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, and the master's heard from heaven the cry of your heart. Everything is about to change for good. We don't train up disciples, Pastor. We train up martyrs. That's our job. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. You can put it up if you can. I want you to get ready for Apostle Heidi Baker. Pastor Corey, Heidi Baker got an email some time ago, 3-4 years ago, and said Heidi Baker's returning back to New Zealand after a 15-year-long stint, and she's coming to your church. I thought it was a hoax, so I didn't reply. And then a pastor came to me and he said to me, I need to talk to you. I said, sure. He said, I'm on Pastor Heidi's team, and she wants to come and see you. I said, does Pastor Heidi know where we live? This is Ōtara. It's where all the gangs are. We in New Zealand, we are known to be the worst violent, gang-fested, drug, you name it, in the entire city. It's our home. And then the pastor said, Heidi Baker's coming to you. And I said, why me? Why here? And the pastor said, well, Heidi Baker says, we're coming, we're coming. We were only a small church in a small facility. And so I asked the question, I've never met Heidi Baker in my life, never spoken to her. And I said, how many people coming? And they told me, 1,600 people. I said, we only got like a 400 or 500. If you can push it out, it might be 7. That was saying, don't come. But they told me she's coming. I didn't believe it. The church started at 6 o'clock at night, and I walked out on out of the church building at 3 o'clock, 300 people lining up right around the street. I didn't believe until Pastor Heidi came out of her car and I shook her hand. I shook her hand. She's so small. And as we came in the room, she said to me, thank you for allowing me to come. And I said, are you kidding me? You're Heidi Baker. I said, why'd you come to me? She said, because the Lord told me to come. We had 2 nights with Heidi Baker, 6-7 hours of worship. Enjoy your time. Exodus 33 says, and the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised, an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. Verse 18, then Moses said, now show me your glory. And verse 19, the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. It said that it doesn't matter where you go, what matters is who you go with. Moses had the largest church congregation in its time, 4+ million people. Had the wealthiest congregation to date. Exodus 12:36 says, The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and they gave them what they asked for, so they plundered the Egyptians. They took all the gold, the silver, the expensive jewelry, the silk, everything. Egypt went from the highest GDP nation in the world to the lowest in one day. Moses had the best business and leadership program ever written called the Jethro Principle that has established some of the richest global financial businesses and institutions in the world. They had the best militant strategists no one can compare to today. To the degree when you shouted, the largest defensive walls in the world fell down. Moses saw God's power when the plagues came. He saw his power when the Red Sea parted. He saw God's power when they defeated the Egyptians. And the great I Am said, the Egyptians, the enemy, the sickness, the bondage, the slavery, the suffering you see today, you will see no more. I want to say to you today in Pneuma Church, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Egyptians, the enemy, the sickness, the bondage, the slavery, the suffering you see today, you will see no longer. Deliverance is here, and his name is Jesus. Moses didn't care what he had. All he worried about was who he was going with. And he said, God, if you're not coming with me, we're not going. I've seen your dunamis power to create, but I want your compassion that permeates, your mercy that saturates, and your goodness that associates with our lives, that leads us to repentance. God, if you're not coming with me, Holy Spirit, if you don't turn up, then it's all over. My wife said to me, the generation is not interested in truth. This now generation, they're not interested in truth. They're interested in their freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of choice, freedom to choose who they want to be. But they don't know that John 8:32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But the Bible also says, where the presence of God is, where the Spirit of God is, there is what? Freedom. You want freedom? You've got to have Jesus. So God said, okay, I'll show you my presence. My presence is goodness, mercy, and compassion. Because Moses knew that the power of the Holy Spirit is what he does, but the presence of the Holy Spirit is his himself. God's message is endorsed by the power of the Holy Ghost, and God's people are endorsed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can change your circumstance, but the presence of the Holy Spirit can change your heart. God is not looking for anything else but heart. Heart. And the power of the great Holy Ghost will come upon you and dwell with you. The power is for service, but the presence is for salvation. The power helps you to do, but the presence helps you to become. And here is the presence within you. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the great Holy Ghost who lives in you? Pastor Corey, when I saw you step on stage, I said to my wife, here is a pure, holy man. Here is the power upon you. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The power stirs you, but the presence stills you. The power activates the gift, but the presence brings the glory. The power inspires praise, but the presence inspires worship. I love the worship in the house because I'm not hearing your gift, I'm hearing your heart. The key to the power of the Holy Spirit is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the power of God is what you do, but presence is who you are. Got a phone call from one of our youth leaders. And she said, listen, her dad was a rugby player over 50s. He's a senior game, in a senior age group. And he was playing, and then he went to tackle a guy, and the guy kneed him in the head, and he broke his neck and became paralyzed. And so the daughter took the dad into the hospital. And so the doctor said to the daughter, your dad's only got 24 hours to live. And so they called me, And she said, listen, the doctors had told us that my dad's got 24 hours to live, but God told me he's going to live. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, no, he's not, he's going to die. How do you tell a youth director, a youth leader, that, no, you train them to believe God for the best and believe in faith. And she's believing that God, she heard from God that he was going to raise her dad from the dead. But the Lord said to me, no, he's going to die. And so the Lord said to me, you get in that hospital and you tell them about Jesus Christ. And so I went with my wife because I'm really scared, and when I'm by myself, I'm always nervous. I'm like a little pussycat. When my wife turns up, I turn into this lion. And when she leaves, I go back to the cat. We go into the hospital, we're coming up in the elevator, and because he's an officer, there's about 6 police officers. Now, I've seen your police officers in Australia. You white guys are quite small. You come with the Polynesians, though. We're massive ass, man. We'll smash you. I go in the elevator and I'm trying to squeeze in with these 6 big Polynesian guys. And I was really intimidated, and I was just about to say, it wasn't me. We go to the top floor and I go in there and all the family's there. And I talk to my leader, and she says to me, my dad's now in intensive care and they've got it all, he's going. And I said, well, I'd like to pray for him because he's not a Christian. And she said, my mum, wouldn't let you come in. And so my wife and I did what we always do. We just prayed in tongues. When you're stuck, pray in tongues. When you're scared ass, pray in tongues. People think I had this power in me. Oh, Rabba Kasa. But really deep down in my heart, I was like, God, please turn up right now. I'm like a duck on water. When you see from the top, it looks really good. But right down, everyone's going to question everything, man. I ring the pastor, I said, listen, I need prayer. We need to go and get this man saved. And let the Spirit of God come upon me. And said, get him there, boy. So the mother agreed to bring me in reluctantly. And she said, let the pastor go in with his brothers. We don't want that Christian stuff. So I walked in, I went in with Job, and the family members were trying to, come on, wake up so we can go have a few beers. And he's surrounded by the doctors and nurses, and so it came to my turn, and the lady looked at me. So I came and I just grabbed them by the hand, and I said, it's like the power of God. I grabbed his hand. I said, sir, my name is Luca. You don't know who I am, but I'm here to introduce you to Jesus Christ. And the people were almost manifesting. They were going to, kill me. So I said, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, what I want you to do is just shake my hand, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Waited. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, because I know you're in coma, but you can still hear me, and I'll just shake my hand. And I said it one more time, sir, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Now everyone's getting really angry. And then the daughter just says to me, Pastor, my dad is paralyzed from his neck down. He can't move. My wife looked at me like, oh God, help him right now. Thank you, woman of God. So I said to him, sir, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to blink your eyes and I'll lead you. In the name, you shall live. After we prayed, we went home. The next day, I get a phone call from his daughter. You won't believe this, my dad's sitting up. He's asked me to come read him Psalm 23. Never reads the Bible. Following day, guess what? My dad's called all the family and I've come and asked for forgiveness for all that he's done. Following day, my dad has called in the church members and he wants us to celebrate the Lord. Following day, he died. Isn't it amazing the power of God takes you into impossible situations? Bring him to life so he can hear Jesus. Forgive the family, and now in heaven. The goodness of God. Theologians speak of God's goodness as necessary, voluntary, and communicative. But God's goodness is necessary in that God cannot be either other than completely, perfectly, and ultimately good. Because goodness is what God does, but also of who he is. And he's good and he's upright. Psalm 100 verse 1 to 5 says, "The Lord is good, and his love endures forever." I love the scripture that says it's the goodness of the Lord that brings you to repentance. It didn't say the fear of God brings you to repentance. It's the goodness of the Lord. I wasn't a Christian before when I was young. And some person came up to me and said to me, "Luke, if you don't give your life to Jesus Christ today, you're going to hell." Because I said to them, "I'm living hell right now, thanks. Don't give me this fear stuff." When I saw his goodness, you're there. God is so good. Where would I be without his goodness? My life will be a mess. He's merciful. Mercy is God's patience in action. Tim Kelly describes the mercy as God acting patient. Mercy is not something God owes to us. By definition, mercy cannot be owed, but it is something that God extends in kindness and grace to those who do not deserve it. That's why Moses said, because they didn't deserve to cross the promised land. But God, show your mercy. God shows his mercy to us every day. Mercy triumphs over judgment. By refusing mercy is disastrous. It's like inviting judgment. Because God's judgment for sin is never unjust. His judgment is always the result of mercy that was offered and refused. But the Bible says the Lord is patient and never wants us to perish. He wants us to repent. He wants us to come to his mercy so that he can give it to you. I love the mercies of God. When we had children, someone said to me, "When you have a grandson or granddaughter, your life will change." I was like, ah. My daughter got married and we've got a grandson. It's like you have this love that you've never had before. It just oozes out. When he looks at me, he says, "Papa, do you want the car? Do you want the car? Want money?" My daughter says to me, "Dad, you can't let Sakani go to bed at 10:30 at night. It has to be 6, he's only 2. And you can't give him chocolate. You can't do this, and you can't do that." It's like, because I'm a good dad, yes, yes. And then I do the opposite. My wife says to me every week, "Darling, don't spend too much. We don't have enough money in the bank." And then I look at the bank account. Warehouse children clothing. Kmart children clothing. And I'm like, what? He just smiled at me. It's like you get to love your children more. That's how much God loves you. He longs for you. He waits for you. The God of the third and the fourth and the fifth child. Where would we be without the mercies of God? And lastly, compassion. They say most often the word compassion and the deep emotion it conveys is always associated with God. The Bible gives many pictures of God's compassion as a parent, a father, and even a nursing mother. God's compassion isn't just a feeling, it's deeply connected to acts of forgiveness and deliverance. And the Hebrew word used to describe compassion is rukun, which translates as compassion. And the noun and the verb and the adjective form of this word are all related to the Hebrew word for the womb, rakim. This image and context draws out the nurturing nature of God, which is the deep emotion of God. There are five loves of God, and one of them is the sorge love of God. And the picture is when a mother is breastfeeding the child, when the baby is born, they lock eyes together, and she looks at the child, and the child looks back. And there's this deep, emotional, loving connection that goes beyond words. And love is beautiful. The sorge love of God, He looks from heaven above, and looks at you. No matter what you've done, He looks at you. He sees you. He's not scared of your junk. He loves you. His compassion draws you deep into Him, into the Father heart of God that releases your identity and your protection and your provision. The enemy will always target your identity, from Eve to Jesus to us. But once you know who you are and whose you are, you know exactly what to do and where to go. Being loved by the unconditional love of God creates a bond that no man can break. You no longer do things for identity. You simply just be. You don't work for rest, you work from rest. You don't work for God, you work with God. You know who you are. Like we say back home, you know whose you is. We are called by Him, for Him, and to Him, the love of the Father. Amen. We started the church 15 years ago. We're going into our fifth and sixth year. We were humming. 500, 600 people. Coming to church in Ōtara, the worst area of all of Auckland. We had a move of God. It was amazing. One day my wife said to me, I think you need to go to a ministry called Father Heart Ministry. And you know, I was like, Joe, I'm busy. And, but you know what they say, you know, happy wife, happy nation. My wife has a bit of Australian in her. Her grandfather was the Australian ambassador to New Zealand. And so when I met her, I just found out she had a lot of money. Samoans, we don't have any money. Australians got a lot. Well, it must be God. So because my wife asked me to go, I went, and we had a busy schedule going on. And even though our church was growing so big and it was massive, my kids were becoming teenagers. And though the church was growing, our relationships were growing apart. My 15-year-old daughter didn't want to be near me. The church was going good, but we were struggling and trying to communicate in our marriage. So my wife said to me, it's your fault, you sort it out. And so I go down to Father Heart Ministries, and I'm a Pentecostal kid, born and raised in Pentecostal. And I go to this program called Father Heart Ministries, and I go down to Christchurch. There's about 50 people, and they're all over 60, 70. No, nothing wrong, 60, 70. I'm going down, I'm, Where the sermons, man? So I sit there, I'm listening, and the guy spoke for 6 hours nonstop. It was the most boring teaching I've ever heard in my life. And the more he was teaching, I was smiling, but in my mind, I was like, Joe, I'm going to kill you when I go home. And then he said, tomorrow we're going to do 9 hours of Father Heart, and we don't want you to write anything down, just be. And so I go home, walk in, I'm on the phone, and I'm ringing my wife. What are you doing? Do you hate me that much? Look what's happened. I'm sitting 6 hours. This is the most boring-ass speech. Next day, we did, praise God. You know, you do that spiritual thing. You walk in, hallelujah. But really, I want to kill you. Not here in Australia. Not in America. Only in New Zealand. Where Pavlova was... Anyway... Tuesday, boring ass. Wednesday, the worst. This Father Heart rubbish. And the Lord saith, I'm just being real, you know what I'm saying? Seventh day, on the Thursday, he says, I want to talk to you about your relationship with your father. How your relationship with your father here on earth determines how your relationship is with God. And what you judge, you become. And some of you in this room, you have judged your father, and you said, when I grow up, I'll never be more like my dad. And your wife says, you're just like you are. And then he started to go on about there are times in our lives where our fathers loved us, but we were so angry with them, and they hurt us so much, and they rejected us, and they left us aside. And he said, and what we do then is we decide, you can be a father to me, but I'll never be a son to you. And he said, so what we're going to do today is we're going to forgive them. We're going to forgive them. What we're going to do, we're going to write a letter to them, and we're going to tell them whether we forgive them, because forgiveness is not a feeling, forgiveness is a choice. And if you forgive today, what happens? You open heaven tomorrow. So I thought, I'm going to open heaven. Don't worry about him. I'm going to open heaven. So he goes, what we're going to do, so he gives out pieces of paper. There's 40 of us. He gives out pieces of paper. So everyone's writing. You can hear them crying. Dear Dad. I'm sitting here like, Dad. And then after that, after an hour and a half later, people get up and they walk out. I'm still sitting there because I'm like, but I'm a senior pastor, fastest growing church in New Zealand, prophet to the nation. Pastor Lucas coming, praise God. I have no idea how angry I was. My problem was, and I've only got 1 minute and 51, I went a bit long. My problem was, at the age of 15, I go to sit an exam. I'm sitting with my auntie that I haven't seen for ages with her daughter. She says, come over and have lunch before you go to exam. So we sit down having lunch, and my auntie's talking to me, and then she says to me, how's your mum doing? I'm living in a place called Whanganui. I said, my mum's doing great. Has she come up from another city called Wellington? No, she hasn't. So how long has she been in Whanganui for? I have no idea. Great. So when did your parents tell you you're adopted? And to cut the story short, I go home, and I you know how you got your family portraits on the wall? I don't know why our parents did that. You know, you kind of sit beside a tree. And... why do you do that, man? Don't do that. It's ugly ass. So I take the portrait off the wall, and I look at my dad. I don't look like my dad. And I looked at my mum. I don't look like my mum. My mum's name is Fia Papalangi, which means in English, want to be a white woman. Because my mum's quite pale. So my grandmother saw her and thought, oh, I want to be a white woman. So they named her. Well, I'm not white. I'm quite dark. And then I looked at my sister. She's white. And looked at my brother. He's ugly ass. I'm like, no way, man. We ain't brothers, man. And then I found out later, Pastor, because in my Samoan culture, it's taboo to find out that you're adopted. And then my father called me in, and he said to me, I hear that you were looking for your adopted parents. And he said, let me tell you a story. We pioneered the Samoan Assemblies of God in Wellington for the first time. We were needing help, so we got your natural mother from Samoa. She came from Samoa. She came in here, and she fell in love with a man, and she got pregnant. They want to marry each other, but for some reasons, the families didn't want them to marry, so your natural father went to Christchurch in South Island, and he met a woman, and they got married, and they became the senior pastors of the Samoan Assemblies of God in Christchurch. And so we took you away from your mother because you were the first illegitimate child of the movement, and we didn't want embarrassment for our family. So we took you, and your natural mother married her husband, became the senior pastors for the Samoan Assemblies of God New Zealand in Wellington. And so we took you away from all that. It became senior pastors of the Samoan Assemblies of God in Whanganui. And when I was trying to write Dear Dad, I was trying to figure out which dad am I writing to. Long story short, I just said to this friend of mine, you have no idea of the pain, the rejection, to be told you are the first illegitimate child of a movement. Long story short, I forgave my dad. 3 months later, the superintendent of the Assemblies of God said to me, you're going to be the speaker of the Samoan AOG conference. 2,500 people coming along. And I said to the Lord, and what do you want me to speak about? You only said to me, forgiveness. You need to have my compassion. I knew in those days what we did is even though you weren't blood aunties and uncles, but if you raised up in church, you were uncle and auntie. So guess what happened? All the uncles and aunties that started the movement were sitting up the front. There were 2,500 people there. I called my natural father before we started, and I said to him, I'm talking about forgiveness, heart forgiveness, and I want to ask you for forgiveness because you were a father to me, but I was never a son to you. My natural father forgave me. He was so wonderful. I did the same with my natural mother. And in this conference, here I am telling everybody about the compassion love of God. Did you know that my natural father and my adoptive father and my natural mother's father, Sam, you're confused, I'm confused. Did you know they were part of the executive Samoan Assemblies of God movement for 30-something years and never talked about me? And here they are sitting in this conference, so I talk about the love of the Father, compassion of God. And so I tell them the story. And you know how you tell a story, the aunties and uncles are sitting there like, he's not going there, is he? So I tell him the story about the illegitimate child. The power of compassion changes everything. When we did the altar call, my dad got up, sitting in the middle of the aisle, stands up, walks over to my natural father and my sisters here. And he grabbed my natural father and he asked for forgiveness. And my natural father, for the first time in his entire life since I was born, walked over to my natural mother and asked her for forgiveness in front of 2,500 people. We did worship and forgiveness. We were there for 3-4 hours. Kids running to the parents, asking them for forgiveness. That's why Moses said, I don't want your power. I want compassion. I want mercy. And I want your goodness. Let's all stand, everyone. Don't get me wrong. We want the power of God. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for the power of God. But don't forget His love. My time's up, Pastor. Prophet. rosa bakaya rumose lambakwea rumosa ka lambakwea ma eyarama the liquid love of the Father. You will never be the same again. Never be the same again. No, you won't. You will never be the same. Yeah, yeah. I love that the young people came. But can I tell you, young people, when I saw you up here, and I'm all for you, I was so thrilled for you. But you need to forgive your parents. You need to honor your mom and dad. There's some people here, you may be in your 60s and 70s. Maybe you still feel the rejection and the hurt, but you need to forgive because Jesus forgave us. Pastor Corey, the only way I forgave my dad, because I was so angry with him, and Jesus said to me, so simple, I forgave him. So if I forgave him, you can forgive him. So you know what I said to him? I'm going to come through to you to forgive him. And because of that, mended my heart together. I'm now his father, paying for his bills.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.